Hi, Von Yarslanian.
Oh, hi, Mike Jensen. Hello. Hello, everyone.
It's weird when I say your full name. Not that your full name's weird. It's not usually how I call you.
Von Yarslanian. It's a lot. It's like Sarah McLachlan. I mean, I'm not comparing myself to Sarah McLachlan.
I like it.
It's like long like her name.
I enjoy it. I love your name.
Thank you. I like your name. Guys, it's a new year. Happy New Year, 2021. What's up?
It's a new year. It's 2021. Here we are. How was your...
We dressed up to the... Like, we put all of our fanciest clothes on. Any sparkle that was in the home, I put on myself and my children. My mom made an awesome... She made a dress for my daughter and this, like, she made, there's pants and a vest for my son that were matching, and it was all like this sparkly black and gold. It was great. So we looked awesome, and we, you know, we just played games and ate lots of fun stuff, and that was it, man.
I love it.
How about you? What'd you do?
Yeah, we had a pretty quiet evening. I went to my friend Annabelle's, and we just sort of made dinner, and we kind of had the New Year's Eve thing on in the background, but we weren't really watching it. We were mostly just like cooking and listening to music. And then, yeah, it was pretty, quiet, but it was nice and fun.
You guys looked pretty snazzy.
We did get dressed up. We did put on some fancy clothes. I will admit that I did not wear the suit all night. I wore it for the photo shoot. And then I might have worn like the shirt longer because it was still pretty comfortable. But yeah, we got dressed up for a bit though.
I think it's great. I, you know, mark the occasion.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to admit right now that I did not sleep very well last night. So I feel I'm like a little woozy.
Uh-oh.
So you could ask like, probably personal questions, and I would answer them. Just kidding, don't do that.
Great. I'm going to do it.
Before we started talking, I was like, should I like make an espresso or something? But that feels like a bad idea at 4 o'clock. I don't know. Whatever. We're just going to see how it goes. It's all going to be fine.
It's going to be great. This is fun, guys. This is so fun. This is our podcast where we talk about things we like, things we don't like, things we recommend, and also random facts.
Just random stuff that's going on in our life. Did you guys do anything this weekend? You're mostly just at home right now, right?
Guys, LA is in a terrifying place right now, like really bad. Like, I want to say we are what you guys in New York were in the beginning. It's quite horrible. I get the like sort of the daily news breakdown from the New York Times for specifically for California. And when you see the news on the California and also on the national news saying California's, you know, up Schitt's Creek, it's kind of like, it's terrifying. I feel like can't even go outside, you know? They're basically like, it's everywhere. Don't even go to the grocery store. I was like, fudge, man.
Yeah.
So it's not great here.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot about that. And obviously, like, I do pay attention to what's going on in your neck of the woods. And it is. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot happening there. And I'm especially worried about the next couple of weeks just because we're going to have all the posts. Because, you know, people were hanging out for Christmas and, you know, they were hanging out for New Year's Eve. You know, they weren't being careful. Yeah. You see it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like the next couple of weeks, especially, like, I did leave my apartment today. Like, I can go for a walk and I don't have to be around a lot of people where I go for a walk.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to be extra special careful for the next couple of weeks. And it's just, it's just what's happening right now. So I don't apologize that we talk about it every week.
Right.
But it's just that frustrating thing where you think it feels like, I know that we're not close to the end, but we're getting there. And the fact that people are being so reckless at this point is very, very frustrating.
Yeah, it's like the people are tired of it. And I get it, but we still can't. Like, it's really scary. But you know what? One thing I would like to focus on, I read somewhere something about after the Spanish influenza in like the teens, that's when the roaring 20s happened.
Right.
So what kind of roaring 20s are we going to have when this is all sort of better? I cannot wait. I'm gonna roar so hard.
No, yeah, obviously I'm very excited for this to be over. It's been kind of a weird, like, so two things. I definitely last week and especially got into like the really bad habit of, and maybe it was because of New Year's Eve, that like I stayed up late for New Year's Eve.
Mm.
So then I slept in on New Year's Day, and then sort of like 3 days in a row, like I just kept like staying up later and then getting up later and then staying up later. And like, it just got to a place where like Sunday I woke up and it was like 1:30 in the afternoon. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that every once in a while. Like, I'm a grown up and I don't have children. Like, I'm allowed to sleep in if I want.
Good for you. Good for you.
But it does get, but if it's not what you want to be doing, it does get very, very frustrating that I kept like pushing this further. So Sunday I was like, all right, like, have some breakfast, leave the apartment, like, think about your decisions. And so I went on this really, really long walk, and I ended up walking way up to, like, the tip of, like, top tip of Manhattan. And because it's really pretty up there, and they're, like, beautiful parks. And but then I was hungry, and I was like, oh, there's nowhere to eat right now. Like, you can't go to a restaurant. And
right.
Like, maybe if I knew the neighborhood better, I would know, oh, there's this place over here. So I was kind of like, do I go into a deli? I found a grocery store, and I was like, I'll find something easy to eat here. And I ended up buying, like, this deli container of tuna fish and another one of, like, coleslaw. And I don't know if it's hard to predict, but this was a terrible idea. Like, I'm then standing in the street in the rain, like,
yeah,
eating, like, tuna fish with a plastic fork. And it was so gross. Like, it was just terrible.
Ew.
And I'm like, where am I in my life? Like, what is that? Like, in my journey of questioning my bad decisions, I'm just making bad decisions. And I felt, you know, I hate food waste, but I had to just, like, throw it away. I was like, I can't eat this. Like, this is a terrible idea. And
it's true.
And now it's even, like, getting dark, and I'm walking on, like, the side of the highway at, like, 5 o'clock, which isn't that late, but it's dark. Like, it's pitch black in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to this space where it's dark and I can't really see anything, but I can see there's, like, a puddle in front of me, and I don't know how deep it is, and I don't know, but I'm kind of like, I have my good shoes on, like, I have my waterproof shoes on, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just, like, walk slow and kind of get through it. And I'm telling you, I am a step away from being out of this puddle when a huge truck comes along and full on, like, opening credits,
no.
Sex in the City,
no.
Like, sprays me with so much water, like, so much water. Like, it soaks through my coat, and I'm wearing a mask, but it, like, literally got in my mouth. I'm like, I have, like, freeway water, like, in my mouth. And
ew.
I'm just like, this is not good. Like,
I know people who live in the other, you know, parts of the country may not realize that that is an absolutely thing. That's an absolute thing that happens when big trucks drive by when after
it really
rainfall.
Because everyone walks in New York. Yeah. It was just terrible. And then I had to, like, walk the rest of the way home just, like, yeah,
oh
just
my
dripping
God,
Mike, water.
You poor
and like,
thing.
I was now I'm so cold because my coat is like wool. So it's, like, soaked up the rainwater. It was bad. So I tell that story. I will also say that I'm getting good at the micro stuff that we talked about.
Good. Ooh, tell me about it.
So I've given myself, like, three options. I don't want to have too many because then I feel like I'll get overwhelmed of, like, I don't know what to do. But so I'm getting pretty good at, like, one day when I was feeling a little bit stuck, I was like, just take out your guitar and do a mini concert for yourself. And I did, like, six songs.
Yay!
And played the guitar and sang along. And so that's an option that I'm going to try to work on, is just, like, rehearsing for, like, 20 to 30 minutes. I did read the prologue of Bird by Bird, the book that you sent me. I don't know if we talked
yes.
about that on this or not, that you had sent me
I'm
that
not
book.
Sure,
and
I'm, but it's a great book.
I'm very Keep excited going. To read it. Yeah, I'm excited to read it. So I just started that. And then aside from that, I'm going to start looking at old material. And even if I just, like, reread it to kind of, like, see where I was. So anyways, I hope that I can say that I'm at least getting that. I'm getting better at that. But, like, here's a little thing I can do today to make me feel like I've done something creative.
And how did you feel after you did the little mini thing for yourself? How did you feel?
I felt really good. I mean, it felt good. The little concert felt good because I, you know, I was like, okay, playing the guitar is like anything else that you have to practice. Like, when you don't do it for a while, like, you literally forget how to strum. Like, you forget, like,
yeah,
how to, like, maintain a rhythm. So the more that I keep doing that, the more that it comes back into my body. And then even reading the bit of the book, like, though it's not me doing something creative, it feels like it's at least, like, feeding a creative part of my brain, which feels good.
Absolutely.
So I am feeling better about that as far as it goes. Other than getting splashed by a truck by the highway, I feel like I've turned a corner there.
I can't even. That is insanity to me.
It was so dumb. It was just so, like, of course, yeah, it's fine. Welcome to New York. It happens.
Welcome to New York. By the way, Mike, right now I'm looking on SoundCloud trying to find your music. And you said you have it all on there, right? I cannot find it. So you'll have to send me a link.
I have one album of music on SoundCloud.
Which album is it?
I want to say that it's my most recent, I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say that I think it's called Looking Back on a Possible End.
Good.
Which is very wordy, I know.
Okay, can I talk about what I'm digging?
Yes.
I'm not trying to, because it has to do with you.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a couple things, so whatever, I'm cheating, okay? If you have not watched it, guys, on Disney Plus, the movie Soul S-O-U-L.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. Did you watch it?
I did. Yeah, I watched it last week. It's very, it was almost my thing. It was almost my thing. So I'm glad that you're talking about it.
Ooh, oh my God. It was, it took a turn I did not see coming. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody because I want you to experience it. I definitely had some racking sobs in there because I think it hit me real close. Real close to home. It's about creativity. It's about your purpose, your passion. The animation is wonderful. It's just so bizarre and weird and beautiful. And like Jamie Foxx does a great job with his voiceover. The music is incredible. It's a delight. I want everybody to watch that. By the way, there's a lot of Mike Jensen's on SoundCloud, just so you know. Okay, so here's my other thing that I liked. And I don't know if it's available anymore to watch, but on Hulu, there was a show put on by Broadway Cares, and it was for COVID relief and all that. So they shut down whatever street it is that like Hamilton is on. What street is that in New York?
I think it's 46th. I think it's 46th. Maybe it's 47th.
They shut down that street and basically made a stage and had a bunch of different performances of people who were about to go on Broadway. Shows that, you know, the Jersey Boys did some stuff. Alanis Morissette's show. Called what is it?
Jagged Little Pill,
which I like really liked the so this is the thing that I'm going to say that I liked. I love the performances. So I know that whoever created it, they came up with a different storyline, nothing to do with Alanis really, but with that album, the You Ought to Know album, which is so amazing and everybody knows it. But what I saw, I really liked. Did you see that show, Mike?
I did. I will say, and this is going to sound shady, and I don't mean it at all. I'm very glad that I saw it. It was a very an enjoyable experience to watch it.
Yeah.
Alanis is my favorite songwriter. Like, I worship and adore her.
Yeah.
Her stuff, in many ways, and I hope this doesn't sound too conventional of me, her stuff is almost the anti of standard musical theater. She doesn't have a super strict rhyming structure.
Oh yeah.
Her stuff is personal almost to a point where like it almost can't be about anyone other than her. Right. Though certainly there are songs that like I'll relate to and you know, so it was an interesting experience watching it.
Yeah.
Because it is very, especially for those of us around our age, it's very hard to say take the song Ironic and put it into like this very specific musical theater experience.
Yeah.
That said, the book is by Diabla Cody, the woman who wrote Juno, Young Adult. The book should not work. The book is so dense. We literally cover like opioid addiction, coming out stories, sexual assault.
Jeez.
Like it covers any trigger topic you can think of is covered in this book, in this musical, and it should be what I refer to as sweaty, and it really isn't. She does a very good job of making all these layers kind of work together. The woman who sings You Ought to Know, like, it definitely is a showstopper.
Oh, it was.
I think they did that number that night.
And it was right? So good. I mean, I was like, oh, wow, it was good.
It in some ways plays more like a rock concert with a storyline to me, which is not a complaint. It's just not your standard musical theater. Like, don't go to it thinking you're going to see like your standard musical theater kind of show. But for what it is, I found it to be very, very enjoyable. And I can't remember if she was super featured. I think she was on it, but Elizabeth Stanley plays the lead. She plays the mother.
Right. Yeah.
And oh my God, I love her so much. She's so talented. And for those that may have not watched the Sondheim birthday celebration that happened fairly early on in the pandemic, it sort of got overshadowed by amazing performances. Like, it was the thing where like Meryl Streep, Audra McDonald, and Christine Baranski did Ladies Who Lunch.
Oh my God.
And like so many amazing, like Bernadette Peters does You Are Not Alone, and Mandy Patinkin sings a song from Sunday, The Park with George. Elizabeth Stanley does a song from A Little Night Music called The Miller's Son. And I really love this song. It's very like layered and quick. And I know the lyrics of it. And watching her do this performance, I was like, I've never heard this song before.
Really?
Like I've never heard it delivered this way. It was so like perfect. If you want to see how to interpret a dense Stephen Sondheim song, look up Elizabeth Stanley's The Miller's Son.
And a rustle in the hay, and I'll pitch the quick fantastic with flings of confetti and my petticoats way up high. It's a very short way from the fling that's for fun to the thigh pressing under the table. It's a very short day till you're stuck with just one, or it has to be done on the sly. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and there's many a tryst and there's many a bed. There's a lot I'll have missed, but I'll not have been dead when I die.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so good. Anyways, yeah. So kudos on what you... both of your choices are great choices.
Thank you.
And there are those on top of it for me.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So mine was really hard because there were quite a few things that I wanted to talk about. Like I did want to talk about Soul. I was right on the verge of talking about a movie on Netflix called The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, yes. I do want to see that.
Check it out for sure. I have some issues, but it's not my story. It's her story. It's all about her like telling her story. I'm totally into it. Totally into like how clearly like... tiny crew it must have been. Like it's New York City, like guerrilla filmmaking, basically. So much of it takes place like right there. Like so much of it's like right outside my door, which was super fun to watch. I also just love that it's this woman of a woman of color of a certain age, and someone was like, you have all the power. Like, what story do you want to tell? You're the writer, you're the director, you're the star. Like, I love that. So definitely worth checking out. But what I have to say, the thing that I want to talk about, and this is not a recommendation because some people might watch this and think that I'm a crazy sicko for recommending it.
Oh, God.
It is the dirtiest piece of entertainment ever created for any medium other than perhaps some very fringe pornography. But I love Big Mouth so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
And I just finished the most recent season, and it's just... it's so dirty.
It is.
It's so filthy. It's almost unbelievable. But it's so smart. And you absolutely cannot show it to a 13-year-old.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
But there's part of me that wishes that you could.
That's true.
Because it's so smart. And it's such a great explanation of what's happening in a 13-year-old's brain.
Sure.
And the things that like cause certain impulses. And like the cast is just like... out of this world. It's John Mulaney and Maya Rudolph, and I'll always think of you telling me how much you love Maya Rudolph in it.
I do.
And she plays two recurring characters. Mm-hmm. And the first one you meet, I was like, yeah, she's fine. She's cute. This is nice. And then you meet Connie.
The hormone monster, yeah. She's like,
I can't.
You want to take a bubble bath?
I'm going to take a bubble bath.
I love it so much. Oh, sweetie. Best. And she also does my favorite, oh my like the little lisp where she's like, so what you doing, sweetie? I love it. It's my favorite.
She's amazing. And like,
yeah, no, it is. I mean, the show is gross. It has its moments. But as soon as I'm about to like turn it off, it goes another way. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Oh,
okay. It's so smart. It's such a like a great commentary on like what's happening to your brain. And like Maria Bamford joined, I think this season, maybe she was in part of last. And she's like Tito the Anxiety Mosquito. And it's just like, it's so, oh my gosh. The Jean Smart as the Depression Kitty.
Oh my God. The Depression Kitty is like, I love the Depression Kitty. I just want to sleep with the Depression Kitty.
Have you finished season 4?
I think I have 2 more to go. So I'm almost there.
Okay. The very last thing she does is, there's no spoiler, I won't, but like her last moment, I was like, I can't take this. It's so good. I just love it so much. So if you don't mind the dirtiest, literally it's the dirtiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Like it's so filthy. But it's so smart. It's so good. And it's so laugh out loud funny. So that's what I had to go with because I finished the 4th season last night. Check it out.
Good for you. I think that's great. I'd love to hear what people think as well. But I think, yeah, and it's animated. So that takes the sting off a little bit as well. But it is. There's so much truth.
Sure. Absolutely. Truth in it. So much. Like you watch it and you're like, yeah, Like, there's a whole storyline about this kid trying to come out to his parents.
Right.
Oh, and the mom is played by Julie White, and she's so, I just, like, just the sound of her voice makes me happy. She's so lovely, and yeah, I love it. If you can take The Dirtiness, check it out. It's so good, so smart, so funny.
I'll tell you what, so it will take you away from the crazy COVID world that we're living in right now, so might as well. Okay, so what I'm not digging, if you want to know.
Uh-huh. Yes, I do.
Lately I've been bringing back always to my family and my children. Well, but that's what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah.
Tell me if I've talked about this before. Please forgive me. Have I talked about brushing my kids' teeth to you?
No.
Okay. So my oldest, she had to probably, like, I want to say 2 years ago, she's only seven, but 2 years ago, she ended up having to have like a filling, you know, two of her teeth, her back molars that they eventually lose, but had to be filled.
Oh, wow.
And so we were told that, okay, we have to brush her teeth. We brush her teeth morning and night, and we floss her as well. So we've been doing that for like two or three years. And obviously every day we do it. And we do it with the little one too. The little one is lucky. He has very good teeth, and there's no, like, you know, the dentist calls them the sugar bugs. Keep the sugar bugs away. Ew, isn't that just gross?
My sister Kim was a dental hygienist, and she would always talk about the sugar bugs. Like, ew. Her little kids from a young age were like, we got to get rid of the sugar bugs.
Yeah, exactly. Calvin, they went to the dentist yesterday. This is why I'm bringing it up. And even during COVID, but I'm like, we have to keep their teeth clean and things like that, because I'm like not about to have this horrifying experience that I had with my daughter. Now she's traumatized and really hates going to the dentist, but we're like, it's fun. You just go and you get your teeth clean and get a toy. So we had this dentist when we were over sort of in the South Bay of LA, and now we are more like near Hollywood. So I was like, I'm going to try a different dentist out. This is a couple months back, pre-pandemic. And we went to one in Pasadena, which is kind of close. And this woman, I have a hard time because I refuse to write bad Yelp reviews. But she was like, oh, your daughter's teeth are like basically messed up, and we're going to have to go in and do like a bridge and all these things. And I was like, what? We've been brushing her teeth so much. And my husband and I were just like, felt so sick and bad inside because we couldn't do whatever. So they put my daughter in this chair. They put this like weighted blanket on her, and I'm with her holding her hand, and it felt scary. I felt like the dentist and the hygienist didn't know what the fuck they were doing. Excuse my language. Anyways, in the end, my daughter just had a panic attack and we had to abort mission. She had gotten those big, you know, where they numb it with the needles. So that all happened.
The Novocaine.
But then, so I take her out of there. We're like, oh, we'll reschedule. We'll figure it out. And I feel so honestly sick in my stomach that my daughter's having to go through this. In the end, I was like, you know what? We'll just drive to the other place. I don't care. We love that dentist. So we go back and he was like, I see nothing. There's no cavities. I don't see anything. And this woman didn't see that these cavities had been filled. So if she would have gotten in there and dug into my sweet daughter's teeth, it would have ruined her already filled little baby cavities and traumatized my daughter. Anyways, so the point is, that story is just like, be really careful when you pick a dentist for your kids, guys. And the second part of that story is that I am so sick of flossing little baby teeth. I hate it because teeth gross me out a little bit. And Mike, you're the same way. Once somebody loses a tooth, the like hollow cavernous hole is so disgusting. Oh my God.
I don't need to see that. I don't need to see it.
Teeth are disgusting. Holes and mouths are gross. I mean, I want, and honestly, the crazy thing is that our health, our mouth health is so related to our body health. So definitely want to keep it. Everybody happy, but I feel like I have such an extra BS job at night that most parents don't have to go through because I freaking have to floss my god dang daughter's teeth. Anyway, she's seven. Hopefully it'll be in a point. I just can't wait. She doesn't lose those back teeth until she's 12. So once that happens, then I'm going to be like, you're on your own, lady.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm not digging.
Do your own flossing.
Feel free to edit that up if you want, Mike, because it was such a horrific experience. I don't even know how to like thread it through my brain, you know?
No, it's really good. And it's that hard thing where like, I am the same thing as you. Like I cannot write a bad review.
Yeah.
But like, that should be a bad review. I'm not telling you to write it because like, I wouldn't either. But like, I've had horrible experiences at businesses or at restaurants where I've been like, I should write a review about this. But yeah. I just can't. Like, I can't bring myself to do it.
I know. I honestly, you know, I'm thinking about calling them and being like, you messed up. And here's why. You need to like pay more attention. And this is why I'm never coming back to you. I'd rather do that than to write a public review. But also then again, what if it's that thing where I could have saved some other kid from the horrible experience we had? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really, awful. Really tough one, especially when it's a medical thing. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that I have been racking my brain to think of what I could do without that's not what I'm about to say.
Okay.
I've been trying so hard. I've been like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want this to be the thing that I talk about. I feel like I've talked about it before. I don't want to say it again. What else? I don't like licorice very much. Like, what else can I talk about that would be like just dumb and silly? I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to make it as quick as possible. I cannot deal with the lying. I cannot deal with the lying. This is going to air on Thursday, so the special election that's happening today, hopefully we'll know the answers. I cannot imagine it going the way that I would like for it to go, but who knows? I will try to maintain hope. I just can't deal with, there are over a dozen people in Congress who are going to stand up and say that they think that something went wrong with the vote. When nothing went wrong with the vote, anyone who knows anything knows that nothing went wrong. Judges all over the country, many of whom were appointed by Trump, have said nothing went wrong with the vote. The vote was fine. It was counted correctly. Maybe two people voted like, the margin of error is nowhere near what it would have to be. Anyone that's listening, I don't know if we have anyone that listens to this that thinks this. I don't know what to tell you to reassure you that nothing went wrong with the vote. I hear people talking, especially in Georgia, because that's where the focus is right now, where they're like, we know that Biden couldn't have won. We know it. Look around. Everyone voted for Trump. And I'm like, yes, you're looking at the people that you know. You're looking at your bubble of the world where no one could conceivably vote for Biden. But I promise you, there are so many people that did. I get sad that more didn't.
Right.
I get sad that it is by the margin that it is. But even the margin that it is big enough that nothing went wrong with the election. And the fact that we have a president on the phone to a state attorneys general telling him to find votes is
bonkers,
mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
It is insane watching them have to explain to the people, here are all the ways in which this didn't happen. It truly feels like next level political dystopia. And I'm sorry that I'm talking about it again.
No, it's okay.
But it's not okay. It's not okay that these people are going to get up and say this, because all that does is validate the lies that are being told. And it's a disservice to the American people. It's a disservice to democracy.
I agree.
And it's terrifying to me. So there it is.
I agree.
That's there. There you go. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up. It's something that I'm like, honestly, pushing way back inside of me, because it upsets me so.
No, it's hard. I totally get it. It's like, I don't want to think about it, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a topic.
Oh, good. Let's do it.
Let's move on. This is what I was thinking about, because we both had a moment today where we were like, let's record. I don't really know what I'm going to talk about, but let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I think this episode has turned out really, really well so far. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, good.
But sort of on the subject, were you a good student? What kind of student were you, like in high school and college?
No, I was not. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was one of those kids who was like, I talked a lot. I had nonstop talking. I think I was pretty likable. I was definitely a class clown. So like, I enjoyed going to class. Anything that had to do with creativity, like theater or writing. I really, honestly, my first bout in like high school, I was like, loved writing because I had an amazing teacher. And then I got a teacher who told me I was stupid. No shit. And then I was like, I hate writing. I'm a horrible writer. I'm horrible. And then everything else, like math, I just kind of like would always find the easy teacher because I couldn't quite focus. I am diagnosed with ADHD. So I didn't realize that growing up. And so I really suffered. I could not pay attention, but I was able to graduate with a 2.75, which is like a C average. So I was pretty proud of that. And then I went to community college. What was great about that? Well, that's not true. It took me 3 or 4 times to pass the lower math. I know. So horrible. And it was such a pain. When I finally passed that math class, I was best friends with my sweet Indian tutor. I was like, I love you so much. It was an older lady, and I sat and cried in her arms because I was like, I can't figure it out. And finally, I figured out you have to memorize the order of operations. This is algebra, people. I didn't even go past that. Anyways, but once I was done with all that stuff, and then when I got to my 4-year and I could only do theater and creative stuff, that's when I finally started getting like 3.5 and almost A's. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a great student, but I have decided, or not decided, I've learned and decided that my ADHD is my superpower, because there's people, you know, like I'm always on the go. You can ask, you know, Mike, I'm always producing something, doing a show. I'm a person who gets stuff done, surprisingly, now in my adult life. Like, but I have a lot of energy, which I know I'm a lot for some people, and that's fine. So I look back on school somewhat slightly bitterly, but also I'm so grateful for now knowing who I am and like being able to sort of love that spastic person inside of me. So yeah. How about you? Were you a good student?
I think we had very, very similar experiences. Not in exactly the same way, but I was a very good test taker.
Ooh, no, I was not.
Well, I'm also very, I should say was, I'm not as good now, but I was strangely, even though I consider myself, and I am, like a creative person, I was very, very good at math. Like I was very, like, I think I have a very like analytical mind in that way, that I'm very good at like breaking down the problems. I've now completely forgotten the order that you're supposed to do things in. So when I see those dumb things on Facebook, I always get something wrong. And I'm like, all right, I forgot you multiply before you divide, whatever. But at the time I was really good at it. My biggest problem is that I wouldn't do homework. I honestly believed that if you couldn't do it in the classroom, you shouldn't have to do it. Like,
oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, I didn't think there should be homework. So if I couldn't get it done like in my study period or during the school day, I just wouldn't get it done. So I would have like a D in assignments and like an A in testing. And I always say that I proudly graduated in the top 70% of my class.
That's amazing.
Like mine was a little bit lower than yours, I want to say, but it was around the same place. They're like, did they post them at your high school where you could see where you fell?
I mean, I think when you're a senior, they post them in the newspaper, some crazy thing like that. And you're like, I'm like, yay, everyone knows I'm average.
Yeah. I remember like going to the list being like,
yeah. I just gave up.
It took a while to get to my name on that list.
I just gave up after a while, you know, which sucks because in my chemistry class, I remember not studying and just like going in and just pressing, putting C, hoping. And I that's the only D I got. Otherwise, I was able to sort of get a C because I was always really nice. I think I was a good student to have in class. Like, and I'm a team player most of the time. So it's hard though.
Yeah. And yeah, same. So then in college, I did really well at like speech or in music. Once again, you talked about how many times you had to take your first math. I took English 101 4 times before I passed it.
I would never expect that. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I took it. My friend Carolee and I took it together all 4 times, which maybe was part of the problem. Who knows? But we literally got on the first teacher, we took 2 times, the same teacher, and we got to the day our first paper was due and we just hadn't written it. So we just like dropped out of the class 2 times in a row.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And then the third time I turned the paper in and like got a 0 on it because I had misspelled the teacher's name on the cover.
Oh shoot.
Which I guess is pretty bad.
But still.
And then the third time I buckled down in anyways. Yeah. So yeah, wasn't a great student either. I was good at the stuff that I liked. Yeah. Like I was good at the stuff that I wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
But not so much with the homework. There you go.
I think about it now, and I don't think, you know, my mom, she was a teacher. She did know that I was a hyperactive kid. But what she did was put me in every single sport and like got me really physically active because then I could calm down and whatever. And I'm grateful for that. I really am. I sometimes just fantasize of like, what if I was going to school now and like to, you know, people who have test taking anxiety, which is something I certainly have, like to like acknowledge that and to say, okay, how can we help you instead of me thinking I'm stupid? Oh God. And what's that thing that Brene Brown says, something about like shame versus, oh, I can't remember, but it's like what people who feel shame are when you feel you like, I'm so stupid in an, like if I didn't do well on a test, I'd be like, God, I'm so stupid. And people who have like a healthy mind say, oh man, I'm so mad at myself because I should have studied more for that test. You know, the difference of those two things. Hmm. I realize, I think it was a little bit of shaming from a teacher that I'm sure was not intentional, or maybe it was. But from then on, I was like, oh, I'm not smart. But I am super, I'm smart. You know, I'm like, I have a lot to give.
Yeah. I think that I also did have a bad experience. I think it was my senior year in an English class where it was some writing assignment. And when I got it back from the teacher, I almost want to say his name, whatever. And like, he hadn't read the whole thing. He'd like halfway through, he marked, this is all well and good, but it wasn't the assignment. And I don't like, I can't even like, I don't remember what the assignment was or why it wouldn't have been the assignment, but it was supposed to just like be creative writing. And I wrote something and yeah. So yeah, teachers can be great and teachers can be, you know, not terrific sometimes.
I mean,
sometimes.
You really I would be so terrified to be a teacher because you have to be so careful because you're dealing with such sensitive people out there.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not totally their fault, but also don't be an asshole. My teacher was an asshole. But whatever, you know, it's fine. It made me stronger. I'm stronger than yesterday. Ain't nothing gonna... okay. Also, free Britney. Does anyone follow Britney on Instagram? It's crazy. Britney Spears, it's absolutely nuts, Mike. If you do not follow her, you gotta do it. It might make you feel worried, but she's always like weird slow dancing in the camera. It's very strange. Oh my God.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that like will send her stuff every once in a while, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on there.
Oh yeah, she cray.
Was that your random fact that Britney Spears is crazy?
That was my random fact. My random fact is that I'm really like, because there's the whole theory that this isn't a fact, but this is what I'm going to end with, that she's being held hostage in her home. That is the theory. And
yeah,
it kind of seems like either she's seriously either on drugs or like really did a number or has gone over the deep end. I'm not really sure, but I don't know. It makes me a little sad because, you know, I know she's got like a couple of children. She doesn't get to see, I don't know if she gets to see them. I don't know. I'm not a Britney-a-file, but I do worry about her mental health. I'll just say that. But her body's banging still. She's, you know, for however old she is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty bizarre situation. It's that hard thing where like, I don't know how much we should care about it. But like, if she is in trouble, I hope that someone cares about it.
I know. Yes, that's it. That's the right way to think about it, Mike. What's your random fact?
So my random fact is that I have had, as a child, I had the chicken pox 3 times.
Oh, is that possible?
Yeah, you usually can't have them more than once. And I will say that each time I got them really bad the first time. And then the second time it wasn't too bad. And then the third time it was just a couple of spots. But it was definitely like 3 different occasions.
Oh, God.
So there's that. It is very, very rare, apparently. But I was saying this to someone and they were like, oh, well, then you're definitely going to get shingles.
Oh.
And I thought you got shingles if you hadn't had chicken pox when you were a kid.
I have no idea.
So I should do some more research on that. But I found that to be kind of, I was like, I thought that I was done. I thought that I'd had that virus enough. And that I was.
Yeah, I think you can still get shingles. Basically, you just need to keep yourself as healthy as possible. But you work out, you eat well, you know, keep your immune system up. Because I think what happens, I know a couple people who have gotten shingles like right after a big move. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, we're talking, it just, when you're super stressed and you're worn super thin, especially as you age just a wee bit like us,
right,
then, you know, you were more, it's more possible to get like an autoimmune, whatever. But I hear it hurts like a mofo.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. So I guess once you're 50, you can get like a vaccine against it. So I have a little bit more time to go.
Yeah, you got lots of time. Huh. Oh, God, vaccines, come quickly.
Yeah, come to us, please. I think that, I mean, we're nearing the end here, but I do think that New York is doing a pretty good job with it. Like, I feel like I've heard a lot of, like, I have friends who are like, no, my doctor said I can probably get it.
Great.
In 2 weeks or in 2 months, you know, like, not that far away.
What?
Whereas my mom, who, like, definitely needs it, is like, my doctor has no idea when I'm going to get it.
Yeah, wow.
But it's hard because it's just different in every state.
It is. And, like, in LA, people are like, sabotaging things, and it's just out of control. This is why I literally woke up this morning and was like, oh God, this makes me happy though. I know I say that every week, but this does alleviate my tight heart. I feel like my stress is always around my heart. That's why I hope I don't get heart disease someday. But like, you know, when I feel stressed, I feel like my chest get tight. You just alleviated my tight chest.
Happy to help. Happy to help do anything with your chest, Vanya. Oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure dealing with your chest.
Thank you. I love you guys. I love you, Mike, and I love everybody out there.
Thank y'all for listening.
Yep.
I love you. And we'll be back next week.
Yes, we will.
Yay. Bye.
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not, with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at mikeandvanyacantnot@gmail. We'll be back next week.
Something I didn't really realize growing up, and sorry if you hear screaming, that's my children. Oh, so...